You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, since the last time we talked, the Marlins got some very big, very bad news they will be doing without D. Gordon for half a season. But without taking anything away from D. Gordon, who was an important guy to that club beyond just his contributions, I think people have kind of lost sight of the fact that the guy that steps in can hit. Derek Dietrich is a major league hitter. He's not the same player, but he's a good player. How does he fit in? Does he become an everyday guy, or at least an everyday guy against right-handed pitching?
Yeah, it's the latter, Matthew. And you're right. His swing has gotten better. He's always had that 10 to 15 homer type of potential, some think maybe even possibly 20. But, you know, he was kind of would extend the zone, even though he'd get on base, but he tended to try to do too much and, you know, get himself out. And his plate discipline's a lot better. Like we saw the day he, in Milwaukee, the first day they put him in the leadoff spot, first pitch, home run. Obviously, D doesn't give you that dimension. And Derek, a really good pinch hit at bat in game one against Arizona. He ended up getting hit by pitch. He does walk. As you know, he's a threat. And, yeah, against right-handed pitching, we will see him at second base and likely lead off unless they find another option somewhere out there. But with D out of the picture until the end of July, Derek Dietrich really has an opportunity. And, you know, Mattingly is expanding his roster. And, going with even JT Realmuto against lefties to lead off. But, you know, they're kind of piecing it together. It's a new dynamic of the team. But Dietrich clearly is a threat who also kind of gets on base at a higher percentage, too. We haven't seen it over a year than D. He's just not the base-stealing threat.
He's not a gold glover. He's not Gordon defensively.
Correct.
But he's not a problem defensively, is he? I mean, he can hold it down. He's adequate.
Yeah, he's average, on his best day is average. And we're already seeing, the impact of D when Connolly had his no-hitter broken up, and actually that game, the no-hitter, would have been a team no-hitter, but that one-out little flare at Milwaukee, D probably makes that catch. So it would have been two outs and, need one out for a no-hitter. So you're going to miss his range there. But they have Miguel Rojas as an option to be a late-inning defensive specialist if they need to go that route. But Derek Dietrich, the question is, the only thing that concerns me, Matthew, with Derek is he's had issues of durability himself. He's in the past when things were going well, next thing you know, something happened, pulled hammy or something, and he's out of the lineup. So this is an opportunity, but as it's a long season. We saw D. Gordon can hold up for a long season. Derek has to prove that, and if he can, he's going to give him something really interesting to think about, and I don't know where you're going with the next question, but, D's not eligible for the postseason. So let's say this team keeps tracking like they do, and they certainly are looking like a highly competitive team, that if they're in position to, make that run, I think Donnie's going to be kind of loyal to the guys that got him there, and what does D. Gordon's role become? Assuming all is healthy and if Dietrich's doing his part, especially knowing if they get to the postseason, he wouldn't be in the lineup. So it's going to be quite fascinating to see. Obviously, we're jumping ahead, but to see how D fits back in. He has a lot of, explaining and credibility to kind of make up in when he comes back.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if as that time gets closer, if you maybe start seeing Dietrich at other places to see if he can maybe be almost a super utility kind of guy where you get the bat in there every day, but he's not your everyday second baseman.
Very well could be.
The other big thing I wanted to talk to you about, Jose Fernandez, you watch him this year, and it's kind of hard to put a finger on if you just watch a single game, but he doesn't look like exactly the same guy. And you look at the numbers, and the big thing that stands out just on his overall line is the walks. He's walked as many guys in 28 innings this year as he did in 64 innings last year, more than he did in 51 innings the year before that. So I did a little digging, and he's actually throwing as many pitches in the zone as ever. What stands out is he's not getting he's not getting chases outside the zone. When Jose Fernandez goes outside the zone, guys are laying off. And so that's what's – presumably that's what's leading to walks. And so what I want to know as much as anything from somebody who sees him every day, why do you think that is? What is it that he is doing or not doing that whereas guys were chasing out of the zone, now they're laying off out of the zone?
Well, part of it, Matthew, is you're trying to kind of redefine Jose as a pitcher instead of just an electric, you know, supreme stuff who could get you out with a wipeout curve slider and or blow you away with 98. They want him to pitch more off his fastball and to also kind of pitch more to contact. Now, one of those games, keep in mind, was against San Francisco, which didn't strike out anyway. And in that series, it was the series Manley got tossed for complaining about a tight strike zone. And I'm someone that kind of looks at game day as I'm watching the game, and there was a lot of validity, if you want to believe, you know, the technology on the website on balls on the corners. But that said, you know, they're trying to get Jose under control in terms of his temperament on the mound as well. You know, Jose has tended to be, you know, almost kind of a you know, being a macho guy out there, like, I'm not just going to strike out Puig, I'm going to blow Puig away, or I'm going to just get him to on a wipeout slider. And they want him to just kind of be a little more under control because he tends to get in trouble when he gets a little too amped up. So part of it is his fastball command hasn't been as sharp. And guys, as you say, are you know, fouling a lot of pitches off, consequently, deep counts, and eventually those walks are coming. But he still has that ability to get you, you know, to swing and miss that breaking ball. It's going to be real fascinating to see because the Giants kind of had that blueprint. I don't think the Giants swung, Matthew, until, like, pitch three. They were willing to take two strikes if need be, you know, when I kind of rehashed that game in my mind. And you know, so they're basically challenging him to either, you know, get to that breaking ball. And he also, Matthew, he used to kind of throw that fastball almost, I think memory serves when I was looking at his fan graph, he would throw potentially 51, 52% fastballs. We're talking about pre-surgery, Jose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like 25% like breaking balls, like, you know, it's 15% sliders and then a very small percentage of changeups. So he was completely filthy because you didn't know what he was going to throw at any time. But you throw that many sliders, and there are people in the organization who believe that Tommy John is a result of an excessive number of sliders. So right now that slider almost seems like it's merged with the curveball, and I just kind of just call it a curveball. And I think when we look at the velo numbers, it's almost like the slider curveball has become one pitch. So, you know, he's basically now go fastball, curveball, changeup. And the changeup is really effective to lefties just to keep them honest. So, you know, there are a lot of factors. I think part of it was, you know, the Giants being one of those games. But it is fascinating. And, you know, as teams approach him, you know, they want him, Matthew. Here's a guy who gives up a single. He kind of laughs at the hitter, like, how could anyone get it off me? They want to kind of get that Jose under control and say, just pitch. Because they want him to have, like everyone in the sport wants him to have a long career, not just be, you know, filthy for 4 years and we sit around and go, whatever happened to. So they're trying to make him more of a pitcher and less of this, you know, phenom strikeout machine. And, you know, I remember games against Pittsburgh, I think he struck out 14 or 15, and it was like everyone was a slider, just swing and miss on the slider. And if you look at those replays, yeah, it's out of the zone, and guys were chasing. So it is fascinating. We'll keep an eye on that breaking ball to see if you keep it in the zone, you know, more regularly, or if they're just automatically on 0-2 pitches, just laying off it.
One last thing. Kyle Bearclaw is up, and he's been excellent. And he was a guy who had I wrote down on my notes who had a reputation, but I need to add, had a well-deserved reputation as somebody who just didn't throw strikes, and that was always a problem, tons and tons of walks. That's no longer the case. What has he done to get in the strike zone while maintaining the wipeout stuff he always had?
Yeah, it is amazing. And Matthew, he's on this team opening day if he threw strikes. I mean, keep in mind, well, let's go back to spring training. It was halfway through camp, he was already optioned out. And this was a team that lost, you know, Carter Capps. You know, so it was just begging for that 97, 98 mile an hour fastball and the wipeout slider to be on this team. And I remember games he in spring training, one game comes to mind, he struck out the first two, then walked three, hit a batter, walked another, and gave up like a hit. And next thing you know, it's like, oh my God, what? He literally, you know, mound visits the next pitch, he goes to the backstop. So he goes down to New Orleans. You know, they kind of brought up probably a little faster than they wanted to, but one thing they did was just have him throw multiple innings and just kind of refine and say, look, you've got to get to your slider. So you have to get strike one with your fastball. And that fastball has got a little, you know, a little kick to it, you know, and once he does, he gets to strike one. And then, you know, he's a guy whose slider percentage, he's getting a lot of swings out of the zone, but hitters, you know, even talking to JT Realmuto, is like the hitter, even though they may think it's, you know, lay off it, it looks too good to lay off it. So he's been a real big reason why this team has turned it around. But, you know, it is an issue of command. And the thing about Kyle is he could walk to an inning, strike out three. Obviously, you don't want to make a practice of that. But if they could get him, you know, ahead in the count to get to that slider, he's a really filthy seventh-inning guy and potential future closer.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.